In synagogue this Shabbat, Jews will read Behar in the book of Leviticus. It speaks of the laws regarding the Shemitah year. This is the seventh or sabbatical year in a seven-year agricultural cycle when Jews living in the land of Israel must leave the land fallow. As a child, this was marked by not buying Israeli oranges from the Jewish New Year onwards. The wider meaning of Shemitah was not something that the Sunday school teacher cared to delve into too widely. It was just something we were told we had to do. There are many who have tried to explain the sabbatical year and its laws. The great Jewish rabbi Maimonides says, "With regard to all the commandments that we have enumerated in the laws concerning the sabbatical year and the Jubilee, some of them are meant to make the earth more fertile and stronger through letting it lie fallow. In this age-old wisdom, we might well take some lessons in our modern era." Without doubt, many in the West are facing an unprecedented energy crisis. The shortage of traditional fossil fuels, oil, gas and coal, means that we have to discover new sources, or turn the lights out, or both. Most politicians and their electorate would prefer it if we didn't turn the lights out, which, on one level, is fair enough. But perhaps if we did utilise energy-saving devices, build energy-efficient housing, and within those homes had low-energy lighting and heating systems, then we would and might be halfway to solving this issue. The debate on new fuels has led many to advocate the development of methods such as fracking, or perhaps the exploration extraction of fossil fuels in our sensitive polar regions, or perhaps we should turn to nuclear options. All of these above options, at the very least, have uncertainties surrounding them in terms of their environmental impact. Global warming, perhaps. Or, in the case of nuclear fuels, the uncertainty of whether we can safely shut down the plants and store nuclear waste. Greener solutions have been seen as somehow hippie, or, according to those that deride them, ugly. The current movement against wind farms, large-scale solar plants and tidal barrages seems to play on NIMBYism, or short-term costs, and concerns over perhaps things which are reversible aesthetics. We can argue whether the wind farm is beautiful or not, but when the alternative seems to be the prospect of our oceans rising and burying large parts of East Anglia, a windmill on a hill seems to be a small price to pay. Many climatologists predict a 0.8 to 2 metre rise in sea levels by the end of this century. And others predict that if the Greenland ice sheet disappears too, this could rise to 7 metres, which would result in parts of London and Los Angeles being underwater. This is where the passage in the Torah has something to teach us. We have to sometimes give the land a rest. It's about being guardians of the creation. When the Shemitah year commences later this year, I shall no doubt be avoiding fruit grown on the land of Israel as per the Jewish law. But more than that, I hope that I can work with others to advance policies that also look at giving up short-term gains in favour for the long-term preservation of the land.